gospel lesson for today from the Gospel of Mark, where Mark tells us the account of Jesus' temptation in the wilderness. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Mark, in writing his gospel, never seems to stop to take a breath. Today, in six short verses, Mark tells us about the baptism of Jesus, the temptation of Jesus, and Jesus' first sermon. Details are few, and speed seems to be the key. And when a story is told to us like that, it can often simply be thought that the details are few because the importance is not great. But today we need to stop and not make that assumption. We need to truly see what's going on in our text in order that we can understand how important these quick stories are. I am sure that at least most of you here have seen a Star Wars movie. Star Wars movies are so popular in our culture that even those who have never taken the time to see one still know quite a bit about the characters. One of the things that most everyone is familiar with is how each Star Wars movie begins. On a dark screen, all of a sudden pops up the words, "A long time ago, in a galaxy far, far away." And then the Star Wars logo pops up right in the middle of the screen and then fades away into the background. Shortly after it fades away, blue words begin to appear in the foreground. And as one begins to read those words, they sort of crawl back from the foreground into the background. But if you miss reading these words, the rest of the story you will hear in the movie will not quite make sense. No doubt many people have grabbed their remote and hit rewind to make sure that they were able to read everything that was in that sort of opening paragraph at the beginning of the Star Wars movie. I think we do well today to think of our text in Mark as sort of the opening crawl for the Gospel of Mark. While it goes by quickly, it is absolutely necessary that we read it in order that we would understand the rest of the story that's going to be told. So today, just in case you missed it when it crawled by when we read it in the Gospel lesson, we take the time now in the sermon to rewind and go back and read that opening crawl one more time. Because just like the opening crawl in the original Star Wars movie, our text tells us something very important. It tells us how the war begins. First, if we were watching that text as a crawl on a screen, we would read these words: "In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee, and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And when he came up out of the water, immediately he saw the heavens being opened, and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, 'You are my beloved Son, with you I am well pleased.'" Yes, with these words, the hero of our story is introduced. We learn that the hero is indeed the beloved Son of the Father. Yes, we find out who he is and what he is fighting for. Yes, he is on the side of the everlasting Father. He is empowered by the Holy Spirit. He is the one whom God had promised long ago would come and restore the kingdom of God. Next, these words would scroll by on our screen: "The Spirit immediately drove him out into the wilderness. And he was in the wilderness 40 days, tempted by Satan. And he was with the wild beasts, and the angels were ministering to him." In these short verses, the villain is now revealed. We learn that the villain's name is Satan. And we learn that this Satan is indeed going to do everything he can to tempt Jesus to simply give up and lay down in this battle. Yes, Satan fights with everything he's got, and we're told that as this battle begins, even the angels of God get involved, taking support, a support role for Jesus. And then these words begin to crawl into the foreground. Now after Jesus was arrested, Jesus came into Galilee, proclaiming the kingdom of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God is at hand, repent and believe in the gospel." As here Jesus begins to show us how it is that he fights in the war, how it is that he battles. He does it with his presence as the king, and he does it with his words of the gospel. And with those words, the crawl on the screen comes to an end. The stage is set now for the telling of a story that will continue throughout the Gospel of Mark. And if we have read and understand these quick paragraphs, we are now ready to understand the rest of the story. It will be Jesus and the forces aligned with him versus Satan and the forces aligned with him. It will be a battle between the kingdom of God, which is now present in the King Jesus, and the kingdom of Satan, which he's been struggling to hold on to ever since he won a battle back in the Garden of Eden. But you know, unlike the battle described in that first Star Wars crawl, this one is very real. While in reality there is no empire and there is no rebel force, the battle between Christ and Satan is very real. It has been waged for year upon year and continues even to this day. It began in our text with Jesus' baptism, his temptation, his first proclamation of the gospel, but it has continued ever since. Now admittedly, this war is a little odd, because the victor in this war is determined at one point in history, and then even after the victor is determined, the battle still goes on. That's not how we're used to hearing about wars. And it makes it very hard for those of us who live now to understand exactly what's going on. If Jesus has won, why does the battle still rage? We know that at the cross, the definitive battle was waged. And we believe that the empty tomb proclaimed Jesus as the victor in this war. And yet you and I know very well that the battles between Jesus' forces and the forces of Satan goes on. And the reason for all of this is that while the war indeed has already been won, the victory has not been announced to all people. The kingdom of Jesus has not yet been established in all places. On the last day, everyone will see, and every knee will bow. But until then, the battle continues to endure. It's sort of like a battle in the War of 1812. The Battle of New Orleans happened 2 weeks after the treaty was signed to end that war. Why did they keep fighting if the treaty was already signed? Well, because they had not heard that the war was over. It's very similar to what we are going through in our day. The word of Jesus' victory is still spreading. The kingdom of Jesus is still continuing to extend its reach. But until the final declaration of victory is made on that last day, in every place and to all people, the battles will continue to go on. They're going on in your life right now. Battles between greed and generosity, between immorality and purity, between drunkenness and sober judgment, battles between compromise and confession, between spiritual laziness and spiritual discipline, between busyness and Sabbath, battles between longing for the world and longing for the Word, battles between prideful self-reliance and humble prayer, ultimately battles between unbelief and faith. We call these battles temptations, and they are important, for they are part of this war that began in our text when Satan first tempted Jesus out in the wilderness. Yes, our battles are part of that same war between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of Satan. And there is no battle in any war that is unimportant. You and I must realize this truth, that our temptations that occur in our life are part of this larger battle. But do we? When was the last time you stopped to think that there is a spiritual war being fought all around you? All too often, I fear, as Christians, we are standing in the middle of the battlefield and think we are standing in a place of peace. We do not recognize our temptations as the cosmic battles that they are. Since we don't actually see the demons and the angels with our eyes, we often become convinced they're not there at all. We become convinced that our struggles are just struggles that we go through and forget that they are part of this larger war that has been raging for many years. But to ignore a battle that you are engaged in is the most dangerous thing anyone can do. For to ignore the battle going on all around is the easiest way to get killed in a war. We must realize that every time we face temptation, it is an attack of the evil one. It's not just some little temptation that only matters to our life for a moment. It is part of the grand war between the kingdom of Jesus and Satan. So next time you are tempted to sin, realize the battle you are engaged in and cry out to the one who has victory. And then trust that through his grace, his victory is your victory. That's why James says in our epistle lesson, "Blessed is the man who remains steadfast after trial, for when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life which God has promised to all who love him." And in those times when temptation has already come, and you forgot to even reach for the strength to fight it, and you have fallen into sin, in those times, fall before the King Jesus. Confess your sins to him and receive the forgiveness he won for you when he defeated Satan once and for all at the cross and empty tomb. Yes, come even this day. With all those times that you have failed in the face of temptation, come and gather at this altar and receive the forgiveness of your sins in our Lord's body and blood. Receive his forgiveness and receive his victory over sin. Our text today only tells us about how the war begins. But you and I know also how the war ends. And that's very important for us who live while it's still going on. This we know, and this is our strength in every battle of temptation. Jesus is the victor. Amen.